Accession number 11213, Reel 11.
Mr. J. Lam, Reel 11. You were telling me, Mr. Lam, that you arrived in Newcastle from being abroad, and instead of going straight on to Brandsmith, you went off to your home, I believe it was in Gateshead.
Yes, down Thames.
And that you arrived there early hours of the morning.
2 o'clock in the morning.
Were they surprised to see you?
They certainly were. They knew I was on the way home, but they wondered where I was, because I'd been taken that long.
And who was at your home at this time? Was it your father and mother?
Just father and mother. And I had a brother, two married brothers living there, in the area. And one of them had been in the army, but they got out to go to the mines.
You spent 2 days there, you said?
Yes, I spent 2 days at home, because I knew they had no idea where I was. Because, according my discharge book there, they've got me leaving Egypt approximately on the 7th and arriving in England in a day, which the journey was supposed to be. So that just goes to prove they had no idea where we were after we left.
So you had no problems when you got to the depot? They didn't expect you earlier?
Well, they had no idea where I was. They couldn't have done. There was nothing was said. I just simply reported. Reported to, I don't know, can't remember who I reported to. Now, then the first said, right, don't unpack your kit. Get a meal now. And go to the order room and get your warrant. Real warrant. Home. And you're going home and getting 28 days leave. And then they're coming back to go up to Scotland to join the tender, darling, for D-Day. Well, I thought that was a bit stiff.
Why did you think it was a bit stiff?
Well, after being away from England nearly 9 years. That was 1935, I arrived in India. I hadn't seen England in 43, going on for 9 years. I said, I recognised a couple of the chaps here in the cookhouse. Bodley, I think. Not Bodley, it was somebody. I knew him. I said, see that chap there? He was a depot with me. He hadn't seen any man yet. All this year. Well, the reply I got, well, we know it's tough on you and all this and the other, but you're the men we want. You've got the experience to teach these new lads the ropes. No, I said, just like that, is it? So anyway, I came home, had my 28 days leave, and I reported back to Gansford's Castle, and there was another two lads. There was one Ginger something, and there's two of them. Yeah, I just can't forget them. Darky. Wasn't Williams, it's Darky something. There was two of them there. And the three of us travelled up. We met at the central station. We went straight from Brandsmith to the Darlington by truck, etc., and got a train straight up to Scotland.
When you were on your leave, how did you find the people that you'd known before you'd gone into the army?
Well, when I arrived home, they'd evidently heard that I was coming home. And now the stream is across the street. Welcome home, Joe. Well, I said, that's So quite a few of them said, and they were all, you know, quite pleased. Nice to see you back. Now my brother who'd come out of the army to go down mines, he was in Lancashire for years. He was at Dunkirk. He was a reservist when the war broke out and he was called up, naturally. And he went to Dunkirk and then they applied for men, any men who would work down the mines, if they wished to go down the mines, because they would need men for the mines. So he was one that went back. My other brother, he was already still working at the pit where I was working before I joined the army. So they all came up and we had a get together and going around in bars and having a drink, etc. and whatnot. And quite a few more things happened which I'm not going to talk about at the moment, which I don't need to talk about as a matter of fact. And that's my private life. And so I had about 28 days leave. Then
you made your way up to the 10th Battalion. Where were they?
I met the two lads. We'd arranged for the two lads to meet at the Central Station. No, we travelled from Bansworth, from Dunn, directly up. And we finished up in Rothsay. That's opposite to Calsey Butte. Well, the 10th and 11th Battalion were there, both combined. Well, I was posted at the 10th, and as you know, you just report in, and we were billeted in private houses. The people had evidently been put out of the houses, the same as what happened down the south of England and all over the places, and the army took over. And I'll usually remember there was a pavilion down there at Rothsay, like a big something we used to use as a restaurant, where the cooks used to be. We used to go and get our meals. And I remember we used to just line up outside and march down there when it was meal time. But then the train started. Well, first I was up in front of the commanding officer.
Who was that?
Was a chap called Blackett. Now, this Blackett, I knew him. He was a lieutenant when I was in India. When I joined the 2nd Battalion in India, he was there as a lieutenant. Now, I knew him, but he did not know me. Because being away so long, no listen either. And he said to me, he said, well, Lamb, he says, it's nice to have you back again. It's nice to have you here. He says, we're pleased to have you. And I meant to say, you've got the experience and all that, you'll be a big help to the lads at here. Well, I said, just like that, like, is it, sir? I said, you evidently know, you know, I've been away from England nearly 9 years, sir. And I was advised by Captain Quartermaster Kirk, before I left Egypt, and she told me to stay there. He advised me to stay in Egypt, because I knew where I was going back to. He knew where I was going back to. Well, I said, I'll take a chance. Because I hadn't seen my family for nearly, my mother and father for nearly 9 years, and the rest of my family. Well, he says, no, it's a bit rough on you, but he says, we need you. Yes, and I says, and he said, by the way, he said, you were a full corporal, weren't you? I said, yes, sir. Well, I explained to him what happened, like about having taken appendicitis in Tobruk and like hanging on as long as I could. I didn't want to go to Tobruk Hospital, and then I was napped like without having a sentry posted, but I was on the job, but that was enough. I should have had a sentry there, and that was it. So he put me on open arrest. That was a brigadier, and that's the first time this had ever happened. The first time anyone had ever come up to Orgon Pit on Stand 210. The first time it ever happened, and all the time.
So what did, was it Major Blackett?
Pardon?
Was he a major?
Oh, no, he's colonel. He was CO. So he said, well, he said, I explained to him, like him, and he said, you were, that was silly fool, weren't you? And he said, don't. But he said, you should have reported sick. Well, I should have done this, I should have done that, but you do things on the spur of the moment, sir. And I says, I knew that we were going to be relieved that the Auckland push was successful, and I did not want to go to Tobruk Hospital. I'd had enough of Tobruk, and I wanted to keep with the lads.
So what did Colonel Blackett then
say? So then he said, right, now he says, well, he says you were a silly fool, you were. He says, now he says, look here. He said, I want you to put on orders for full corporal tomorrow. Will you take it? Will you take your stripes back? No, I say, as far as I'm concerned, I'm finished them, sir. You can keep them. Why? Well, I says, as far as the treatment I've had off the Durhams, such as I'm getting now, after being away 9 years, I say, as far as I'm concerned, I'm finished with them. So he says, you ought to be proud of the Durhams. Yes. Well, I said, yes, and the Durhams ought to be proud of me, sir. Now, he said, all right, lad. He said, no more back chat. He says, right, that's enough. Get out. And that was it.
So what was the battalion doing? You were obviously training.
Well, then I went to, I don't even know what company it was. And I didn't know anyone there. They were all strangers to me. So I just joined in with them and we went, and mind this was November, because it was September when I came back from abroad. Going in December area. And it was winter. And I'd just come from the hot climate. And I was a healthy man. So, first thing they did was, right, boat training, going out to the Glengyle boats, there was Glengyle boats there, and they had nets hanging down the side, and all this and the other. That's it, they took us out in the boat, say about a dozen of you in each boat, and out, took you about a mile out to sea. You had everything gone, including your overcoat, rifle, and a little life belt on you. On the arm, like little life belt on the arm. Then you had to right over and swim for it. Swim for the shore. That was landing exercise. What were going next? What were you going to, what? Prepared for what you're going to do when you went over.
I would be training for D-Day.
Yeah, that's what you did out there. Going in these LCTs and just opening all your ways. And then, like that, and then I just made it myself, but there was quite a few of the chaps that couldn't make it. They just pulled them up and pulled them in board. I just made it myself. How the devil I made, I don't know. Of course, I could swim, but with all this kit on, I'd never done that before. It's the first time I'd ever done it.
How could you swim with your rifle?
Well, you had to have your rifle over your shoulder, secure-like. In that manner, clipped together right, keep it out of the water if you could. More so, the butt end of it, you keep it level, you had to keep your rifle as dry as you could. So, anyway, I made it, and then we were out climbing up and down the boats, up the rope ladder, up these nets what they had on the side of these boats, these Glengyles. As a matter of fact, it was a Glengyle boat, Glengyle I came from Kowloon to the desert with. Glengyle boat. There was quite a few of them, there was three or four of them, which had been converted into tube ships. So anyway, and we were billeted in these houses, and that train went on. Then Bangalore torpedoes, we started trading with them. Well, I myself had used these in the desert. I was used to them.
How do you use a Bangalore torpedo?
Well, a Bangalore seabed, it's like a long steel tube. And it's about, say, about 6 foot long. Well, it's cast iron. Fairly heavy. Like, you'd carry it all right, but it was just all right. Well, it was also chocolate gunpowder, and that had a fuse in the end. Now, this was for breaking barbed wire up. Now, you used to carry this up and slide in on the barbed wire there, just as you would have if you chocolate barbed wire went into action. There's actual training, this. The Bangalore was live. No dummy about it. And I don't know who it was, but said to me, "Lam, you've had some experience with this, haven't you?" Oh, I said, "Yes, I've used them in the desert." "Right," he says, "show them how to go, Lam, will you? Will you take the Bangalore to bait and show them how to go?" I said, "I will." So, I said, "What I want, though, is somebody up with me, with matches or something, you should light the fuse there. Because I can't do everything at once. I want him to be ready to light that fuse, and I will blow it back.
So you lit the fuse on the Bangalore?
Yes,
with
a match? Yes, a match or like something like that. And I don't know what it was. I can't remember what it was. It may be a time click or something like that, but it was something on the first fuse. A time fuse was, I couldn't say how long it was, but it wasn't that long. And the trick was not to shove the Bangalore torpedo straight through the wire. You had to shove it through long ways, if you could, so that it would spread and make a gap in the wire. You understand? If you stuck it straight through it, well, there would just happen to be nothing. You had to put it in through an angle so that you made a decent gap. And the shrapnel that came off it used to break the wire and make the gap for you to get through. Well, I did this. I went up and I slung it, put it through. And I said, "You lad, stand back there. Let you stand 100 yards back and take cover as you can, much as you can. 100 yards behind, no further, in." I said, "This lad with me," now I said, "when I'm ready, put a match to it when I say go." So I got the Bangalore to be in and I said, "Right, light." So I lit and I said, "Right, off go, that's back." It got flat on the bottom. And then it went off, and all the way up. The barbed wire first. Well, I don't know where he says it. Well, that was a damn good show, lad. He says, "It's obvious you've got the expertise." Well, I said, "I should have. I've had 3.5 years in the desert with it."
Did you?
Well, he says, "That's one of the reasons." Yeah, yeah.
Did you train with any other weapons that were relatively new to you? Did you train with any weapons you hadn't seen before and you hadn't used before?
No, there was just still the Bren guns. That's all it was. There was no new weapons whatever.
Did you know that you were training for D-Day, for the assault on Europe?
Of course.
Although it was November 1943.
They told me before I left Banff, you're going up to get join the 10th Battalion and get ready for D-Day. So anyway, I've been there about 5 or 6 weeks, and all of a sudden my legs, the veins come up, well, they must have been 3 inches thick, a couple of inches thick, up both my legs, varicose veins. Christ, I says, well, that was obvious, caused by the cold, my body wasn't used to it, and it hit me. And I was, there was no doubt it was thick as my blooming finger. Up both legs, right up. So I had to report sick. So I reported sick, and the the medical officer gave me a light duties. So, after that, we moved by, I think I did get a week's leave home before we moved down to Southwold, East Anglia. I'm not sure. But whether my 28 days counted, I'm not sure. I couldn't see it.
What time was this when you moved down there?
Well, it was around about, we were only up there about 6 months.
So it was around about the May of 44, April, May 44. Was that the kind of time?
Well, it must have been about 6 months before D-Day. Because we went by a convoy from Southwold, the whole battalion, big convoy, three tonners and all this and the other, motorcycle riders, and we came right round by the Pennine Way, right. We didn't come through Darlington or Durham or Newcastle. We went right round the Pennine Way. We bypassed Darlington and everything. I was hoping we'd come through Newcastle and Gates or something like that, but we never touched it. So we got down to Southwold in East Anglia. So naturally, when I got down to Southwold, I had to report sick again. So I reported sick, and the medical officer said, "Well, Lamb," he says, "there's only one thing for it. You'll have to have an operation." Well, I said, I'm no good the way I am. I said, when I get any damp on my legs, it hits me. My legs feel useless. You know, I used to be cross-country in everything. He says, yes, he says, I think I understand. So I said, right. Now he said, report to the, I think the hospital was at Redden or somewhere. Was Redden down there? I think it was Redden, I'm not sure. Place I went to in the hospital. Military place. I went in there and had my operation. They cut me both sides inside the leg, and I came out, and then reported back to the battalion, and I had to report sick when I came, report to the medical officer when I came out. He says, right, Lamb, he says, they don't tell you. They'll say the report, they'll say your medical grade tomorrow. It'll be posted up. So now there was a full end. Was all the things happened. The same thing used to happen with Benny Lamb, who was in the battalion with me in India and Khartoum. He used to always mix our names up. So I had notices. So when I went to read the result of the grading, I noticed there was another Lamb on. He was B2 and they had me A1. So I said, there's something funny here. So I said, I'm going to have the same happening again. So I said, I'm going to make sure. So I said, I'd like to see the medical officer tomorrow. See. So I reported sick tomorrow. I went in there. I said, sir, well, Lamb, what's the trouble? I said, sir, I said, there's not two Lambs on that medical report there. And I think you've made a mistake. He says, I think I've made a mistake. I do, sir. Right, the other Lamb, he looks it up. He said, right, old Lamb. He said, well, look it up. The other Lamb, yes. He says, that's a damn good job you came up. You're the B2 man. The other man's A1. So he says, what made you do this? He says, I'm pleased you come up. He said, I was wrong.
So what did that mean to you, being graded at B2?
So, well, I said, Well, I said, it's often happened in my lifetime, sir, in the battalion. There was another lamb there, and all this, and we used to always get mixed up. He says, it happens. He says, it happens. It's happened here. No, he says, that'll be rectified. You're all right. That'll be rectified. You're B2 with the band A1. I didn't know the other lamb was or anything. I just made the lamb.
So what happened then with your new grade?
He says, what made it come up? Well, I said I had some intuition, or whatever it is, because it's happened before many a time. He says, I'm very pleased you did come up. He said, anyway, the matter's rectified now. You're B2, the other one's A1. Because he said, I've checked, looked him back, and he says, I have made a mistake. Right, he says, as a matter of fact, he shook hands with me. He says, thank you. I said, thank you, sir. And he said, good luck to you. So, as a matter of fact, he said, you've been out to death, haven't you? Well, I said, no, yes, sir, I've been away about 9 years and just come back. He says, yeah, have you? Yes. I said, told him about the being an Indian. Oh, by gosh, he says, you have been around here. He says, I'm damn well pleased you come up. So it's rectified now, lad. So that means, he says, if you want to go back to your battalion, you can't. Because you're just available for occupational duties. You're not available for active service now. Well, I says, okay, sir.
So what happened then? Did you move? Then
I went to a kind of a conversion place down there. And I was in there quite a while. It was a big house. Very big, like Lord Bradburn and all them. Big house. We used to go there. And
how long were you there?
Entertained. I was there about 3 or 4 weeks, I think. Then I came out, Westcliff. That's where it was, where I was convalescent. Westcliff. I remember now, Westcliff. So, then the convalescent was over, I was posted to Oxford. IBD at Oxford, in the base depot.
And this was the Oxford and Buckinghamshire Light Infantry?
No. It was the infantry base depot. For everybody. The same as what Geneva was. Look, just everybody went there. Royal Artillery, the lot. All went to this place. It was in the Cowley area. So I reported there and I went up to the John Seo like and he said, well, Lam, he says, I've looked at your records up there. He says, you've been having a bit of a rough time, I think. Well, I said, that's here nor there, sir. He says, right, now, I say you've been used to stores. Company stores and headquarters stores and all this and the other. I said, yes, sir. I said, as a matter of fact, I've always been in stores at Captain Quartermaster's Kirk. He says, I noticed all of you. Yes, he says, he's given you a good report. He says, right, how about taking a storeman's job here? Oh, I says, I dig it. What I have to do, sir, is up to you. I'll accept it. All right, says, fine. Now he says, he brought someone up, but I don't know whether it was a sergeant or CSM or what. He says, here, take Lamb over to the stores then, put him right, tell him everything, keep him right, his bunks are there and everything. And he's in the air now, I know where he is and all this and the other, it's all down. Okay, Lamb, he says, now take care of everything, he'll be all right. He says, there's no parades, anything for you, mind. He says, the old job is to look after the stores. When men go on leave, they come and hand a kitten to you, and all this and the other, and the blankets and all this and the other. You're responsible for issuing boots out, socks out, and all this and the other. I said, oh yes, I do it all, sir. So he says, right on. So I said, okay, fair enough. So there was another chap was there with us. And I just figured, I don't know what regiment it is, but we're both together. Because someone always had to be in the store. So we split shift between us and all this and the other. We used to go out and lock the stores up. The stores was only open from, say, 9 a.m. till 12, and then